We're going to do a little bit in the sugya of Shleimek of Echad Tirgam. Okay? So it's not a very big sugya, but it's interesting nonetheless. Okay? It's interesting. As Aruch HaShulchan writes, he says, we don't really know the reason why this whole thing exists. Like, it's kind of like, it's not really explained that much. Not that much explanation about the whole idea of the institution. So let's see. So it says, Brachos Ches Amen Aleph. Brachos Ches Amen Aleph. Okay. Amar Huna Bar Yehuda Amar Av Ami. Olam Yashlam Adam Parshios Avim Hatzibor Shnei Mekav Echad Tirgam. So, Olam, always, a person should finish his parshas with the Tzibor. Okay, with the Tzibor. Twice in the pasuk, twice in the mikra, and once in the tirgam, in the translation to Aramaic. Okay, explanation, translation. Okay, fine. Okay, so whatever that means exactly, his parshios. A person should always finish his parshios with the tzibur. Okay, v'afilu ataras adivon, even ataras adivon. Okay, even the pasuk Ataras Adivon, it's a pasuk, and where is it? It's in Matos or Masay, one of those. Okay, simple pshat Rashi says Shein Bo Tirgam, that there is no Tirgam on that pasuk. So even that one you have to read. You have to do Shein Bo Tirgam. Okay, what does that mean? So you have to read it. They say it means you read it three times. Okay, fine. But I mean, obviously we'll get into that. Why? Shekala mashin parshios of a matzibor, because any person who completes his parshios with a tzibor, marichim lo yomo v'shnosav, they lengthen for him his days and his years. Okay? So that's pretty good. Right? That's a good type of thing. A person wants that. So if you do shnei mekav echad tirgam, basically with a tzibor, so then they lengthen your days and your years. Okay? So I guess we can keep reading. We'll read the whole Gemara. It's not that long, and then we'll analyze it. So it says, Rabbi Yehuda Rabaye, Savar la'ashlu minhu leparshiyasa dekula shata v'mala yom ha'kippuri. So Rabbi Yehuda Rabaye, he thought that he would finish all the parshiyas of the entire year on Erev Yom Kippur. That was his plan. Okay? It's a big undertaking. But on Erev Yom Kippur, he wanted to do them all. Okay? Funny, why would he want to do such a thing, right? Strange. Tana lichti abar rab midifti ksivi nisaz harsecha b'tzitza ha'chadash uchi b'tzitza l'lucho at mishalanem ala b'tzar mishalanem. The Pasuk says you should afflict yourself on the ninth. So, you don't do it on the ninth, you don't do it on the tenth. Elom alucha k'olucho l'shotsu b'tisha ma'ayla v'kaz v'kilo m'sana t'shiv asiri. So this mainly to the pasuk have an implication that you're actually fasting on the ninth. So it says why? It's teaching that if you eat on the ninth, it's as if you fasted on the ninth and the tenth. It's a mitzvah to eat on the ninth and on the ninth. So I guess since it's a mitzvah to eat, right? So I guess it's you can't really spend all day long involved shnei mekav echad tirgam, and at the same time, you have to spend a lot of the day eating. I mean, if you want to do it in one Erev Yom Kippur, you're going to have to pack the day with, and then with doing Shnei Mekav. So it didn't work out. So it says, okay, fine. Savar lakta minu, so he decided, he thought maybe I'll just do them earlier. So I'm not going to necessarily do it on Erev Yom Kippur, but I'll do it. This Rashi says, the Sadek called the Parshas for Shabbos Achas, the Rosh Hashanah, to do them all in 1 or 2 weeks. Whatever, he'll pick 1 or 2 weeks, and he'll do the whole Torah then. Right? Instead of doing it week by week. So it says no. It says Amar Leia Hu Saba Tanina Ubabat Shloyakti Mishloyacher. No. Person, you're not allowed to do it earlier. You're not allowed to do it later. You have to do it that week with the tzibur. Kedam Amar Lehu Rav Yeshua Ben Levi Levnei. Yeshua Ben Levi told his sons, Ashlimu Parshi Asaychu Amat Tzibur Shnei Mekav Hatirgam. This is he told them three things. One thing he says is finish your parshas with the tzibur Shnei Mekav Hatirgam. Right? It's a funny thing. This is one of the things he told his kids. The other ones are also funny. Be careful about to cut the jugular or whatever, certain veins, arteries, whatever that will cause, you know, get all the blood out of a chicken, like Rabbi Yehuda, because otherwise you may end up eating blood. I mean, it's a whatever, maybe we'll talk about it at some point. And also, okay, so he says, be careful with the zaken. If you have a Talmud Chacham who became senile, he lost all his Torah, or he was forced to go to work because he was starving, and he ended up forgetting his Torah, you have to be careful to honor him. Because the luchos and the broken luchos were placed in the Ara. So similarly, the Talmud Chacham and the broken Talmud Chacham should be honored. Okay, so these are the three things he told us. Okay, so apparently Shem HaGadol Tirgam has some sort of importance. Fine. Okay, this is basically one. This is basically one. Okay, what does it mean, Parshiyosav? So what does it mean, Parshiyosav? A person should always finish his Parsha. So Rashi says, shall call Shabbos a Shabbos, so each and every week. He should always finish his Shabbos, his Parshas, each and every week with the Tzibur. Right? So, what's the whole... The question is that when you do the Sugya, can you please pass the tissues? Like, where does this whole thing come from? Like, what Parshas? What Parshas? What Parshas am I doing? And where's the source of this halacha? What's the reason for this halacha? What's the whole idea? It's almost like the Gemara knows what's going on here, but it doesn't seem like it does. I mean, where is this whole thing coming from? What is this halacha of Shnei Mekev Echad Tirgam? Is it a Deraisa? Is it a Rabbanon? Is it... What is it? When is it from? Where is it from? Right? I mean, I think that's part of the problem here. Okay? That's part of the problem. It's like it's hard to get started in the sugya and starting to explain things if you don't even have like a basic, so to speak, an address for the halacha. Like, what's the whole thing rooted in? Okay? This man wants to say, I mean, the Aruch Hashulchan wants to say that this takana must go back to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's like when he set up, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that you should learn the parsha, you should lain. Right? When he set up Kriyas Torah, he also set up this, Shnei Mekev Echad Tirgam. Okay? That's what he says. Bevadai, that's what happened. Because I guess he means, like, when else was it?
Yes. When,
hey there, Donald. Yeah, because I guess it's like, what else did it come from? And but he's learning, you see, it's part of the Takana somehow of Kriyas Torah. Kriyas Torah. That when it's Kriyas Torah, is a chiyav on the tzibor to do Kriyas Torah, so each and every yachid is chayav to do Shnei Mekev Echad Tirgam with the tzibor. Right? With the tzibor. Right? I said, he must be learning. Yeah, that's one thing I found. I mean, the official talks a little bit about it. But he does point out that it's like we don't know about it. No one explains this thing. It's like a kind of a mystery. It's just like a given. People know about halacha, but, you know. I mean, the Rambam also isn't really clear. I mean, the Rambam has it also, actually, in Kriyas HaTorah. Rambam says, it's in Hilchos of Kriyas HaTorah in Perek in HaTfilah, HaPerek Yud Gimel. Even if though a person hears the whole Torah on every Shabbos with the Tzibor, he's chayev to read it himself each and every week. Seder shel osa Shabbos, Shnei Mekev Echad Tirgam. That week's Seder, Shnei Mekev Echad Tirgam. The pasuk shein bo Tirgam, and pasuk doesn't have Tirgam, Koreir shlosha pa'amim, he reads it three times. Ad sheyasim parsha Yosef matzibor. So then he'll finish his parshas with the Tzibor. Okay. Again, it's not clear what that means. Parshiyosa v'ma tzibor. What does that mean? He'll finish his parshas with the tzibor. Okay. Another source I found. Oh, yeah, Hilchos Tefillah. Yeah, because Kriyas Torah is in Hilchos Tefillah. So it's part of. Like, it seems like he's learning something like Aruch Shulchan, or Aruch Shulchan something like him, that it's tied in with the halacha or the takana of Kriyas Torah. Okay. Okay. Now. Another person who I found who talked about it is the Sefer HaChinuch. Okay, the Sefer HaChinuch talks about it. By the way, another question in Shnei Mekev Echad Tirgam is like, is what's the deal with Shnei Mekev Echad Tirgam? Shnei, like what, two mikros and one tirgam? Like why not one mikro and one tirgam? Right, or two and two? Or like what's the deal? Like what's the sense of that formula? like a funny formula, you know? Like, you know, so it kind of intuitively makes somewhat sense, so you kind of don't really question it. But, like, if you think about it, like, what is the deal? You know? Why isn't it enough? I guess the best option you would think would just be one Mikra and one Tirgum. Right? I mean, where does two come from? Why do I need two? You know, so you say Mikra has to be more than Tirgum? Something like that. I mean, not really. It's not true. Because you see when they lay in the Torah, the original, and they lay in the Torah, they had the one Mikra and then the Torgumon. So you read it, and then they had a Torgumon. You had to do two Mikras. Right? You had to do two Mikras, then one Mikra. Chris Torah, you do it once. So no, luckily, you have to have more Mikras than Tirgums. So why is it that it's Shnei Mikra Vecha Tirgum? Where does that come from? What's the sense of that? Okay? That's an interesting question. Okay. So if you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, and he's talking about, by the way, I highly recommend the Sefer HaChinuch's introduction. I don't know if anyone's ever done it before. But I highly recommend Sefer HaChinuch in general. But his intro is really good. I mean, there's a lot of basic philosophical things about Torah. It has about Torah Mesinai stuff. I forget all the things he has, but there's a lot of very, very good stuff there. You know, a lot of good, solid points. You know, I mean, a lot of intros are really good. Some people don't really know about them, but you know, this is a very good one. So, you know, it's like just basic hashgafa, like paragraph after paragraph. Okay, so that being said, so one of those paragraphs, he's talking about the mitzvos, and he says ve'achas min hamitzvos, and one of the mitzvos, v'hi ikar, v'yisod shekul neshamas olav, and it's the foundation. So it's essence and the foundation on which all others rest upon it. He mitzvos limud ha-Torah. It's learning. Okay, learning Torah. Ki v'limud yeda ha-adam ha-mitzvos. You can't understand, because through limud a person knows the mitzvos and he does them. I mean, if you don't have limud, you don't have anything. You can't know the mitzvos. You have to learn the mitzvos and then you can do them. Okay, so that's like a foundation. Okay, v'alkein kavu lanu chachamim likros chelek echad misefer ha-Torah b'makum ki v'tam shu besa knesses. Therefore, the Chacham set up, I guess that means Moshe Rabbeinu or Ezra, they set up to read Tevkiyos Torah, where everyone's gathered together, and you read them the Torah. So this way everyone, in order to awaken, to arouse a person's heart to the Divrei Torah and the Mitzvos, b'chol shuv shavua, achivim kol seder, every week, so that you'll finish the Torah. And his idea is that the Talmud Torah is important to grab the framework of the whole Torah, everyone in the Torah. So how does people have familiarity with the Torah, and how are they awakened to Talmud Torah? It's through Kulaini. Basically, that was the halacha. They don't go 3 days without learning Torah. So it's like, it moves people towards Talmud Torah. A person is always grounded in Torah through the institution of Kriyas Torah, and thereby you end up going through the entire Sefer. So everyone has familiarity with the entire Torah, right? If you imagine minusing out of Kriyas Torah, I mean, I don't think you think of it this way. If there's no institution of laning, it's a good chance we'd be less familiar with the Torah. Right? I mean, maybe in first grade, second grade, third grade, whatever. But I mean, how many people would have ever been through Vayikra? Most of the Torah. I mean, we're familiar with the Torah in a very, you know, because of the fact that there's Kriyas Torah, and we're every year, year in, year out, we're always reading it. So that moves us towards, brings to mind all the different parts of the Torah. Okay? And it awakens us towards further Kodim and Torah. Okay. Well, if you Masha Shamanu, Rov Yisrael Nogam Hayom Nikos Kula B'Shanachas. And the way he heard, most of Kali Yisrael is knowing to do it all in 1 year. Because they're different than Hagen. We do it all in 1 year. We finish all Torah. But I think there was one that they used to do in 3 years. Slower pace. What? 7 years? I don't know. True? What? Both. Okay. Slower paces, you know? Yeah. Interesting, right? Yeah, it's not like finishing 1 year isn't like a whole Shema Sinai. Just an idea that you have to read at least whatever, you know, 3 times, like, you know. But the point is that you're learning the Torah. You're working your way through the Torah. And that's the point. Apparently, it wasn't important exactly at what pace you do it. I mean, different people have different paces of learning. But the point is that you're always involved, at least every 3 days, you're always as a tzibur is being aroused and awakened to Talmud Torah. Okay, pace is a different question. Right, I mean, some people do different paces, whatever. Some people learn at different paces. Some communities have different menhagim of different paces on the tzibur. But it doesn't seem like that's an essential component. It's interesting. It was an essential component of the Takana. Okay. Okay. Ve'or chivuhu. So that's the first thing. Ve'or chivuhu chacham zal lekroso kol echad ve'echad v'Yisrael ve'vesa bechal shavuah v'shavuah. They also obligated every individual to learn in his house, to read the parsha in his house every single week. Kemosha koros v'machon, like he was just like exactly what they're reading in the shul. Okay. Like they're in the shul. V'zehu amram zal lo'olam yasavad in parsha yosef matzibor. The person should always finish his parshas with the tzibor. Kedesha yaskil bedvarim yoser dekroso oso beveso. So that he'll have more understanding of these things when he reads them in, when he reads it in his house. Okay? So he's explaining here what Sremika is based upon. Saying it's together with Kirtav and Torah, with Kirtav Torah. Kirtav Torah is that Torah will be a part of the Tzibor. And everyone, you know, the Tzibor is like involved in Torah all the time, every week, let's say. And they're aroused and awakened to Torah. But they also set up Shnei Nekah, that you have to go home, do it on your own, so that you'll have a better understanding of the Torah. And you do it in your house. What does he mean? Why better? Why will it be better? Just pshat. What does he mean? Why will it be better? What? So you read it over. So first of all, this is, you do it in additional time. I mean, more the better. But also, I think he means is like, see, in shul, they're reading in shul. It's like a group activity. Some guy gets up and is reading it, and you're listening or whatever. But it's a different type of an involvement in the activity when you hear the laning, when you hear the Baal Torah laning, versus when you personally sit at home and do it at your own pace, in your own schedule, your own timing, and right? It's different. I mean, it's good. The Kriyas Torah awakens you, and it brings it to mind, and it's, you know, you hear it, and that's something. But there's another thing, altogether different, is the idea of each yachid then going home and doing it on their own, going over the parsha on his own. And it seems like he's learning. That's also part of the idea, that part of the Tzkaras Moshe, that Talmud Torah has to pervade the Tzibor, pervade every individual in the Tzibor. Okay, the Tzibor has to do it, and every individual has to also do it, together with the Tzibor. Together with the Tzibor. So what does it mean, Parshi Yosef? Lo'olam Yashem Adam Parshi Yosef Im HaTzibor. What does that mean, his parshas? Like, what's the statement? You should always finish your parshas with the Tzibor. What does that mean? And what can we understand that statement now? But always finish his parshas with the Tzibor. Right? What does that mean? Yeah, I mean, the way I understand it is that it means Parshi Yosef. It means a person has Parshi Yosef. A person has a person is obligated or should be learning Torah Shabbosav. Torah. Right? That's a part of what a person does. Part of a Jew is that he has a mitzvah Talmud Torah and he learns Torah. He learns Chumash. He learns Torah Shabbosav. Right? But it's saying is that that's Parshi Yosef. It's Parshi Yosef. As he is in general, the person learns Torah Shabbosav. And there's an idea of Kriyas Torah. The Tzibor learns Torah Shabbosav. But it's saying is a person should align his Talmud, his Parsha, his learning of his Parshas with the Tzibor's Parshas. Whereas it shouldn't be that the Tzibor does as a certain Seder, they do Kriyas Torah and they do the Parsha a week, and you do, you're up to the Parsha, Tzibor is up to like, you know, Bahar, and you're up to Bereshis. Tzibor is up to whatever, just doing different stuff. You're on a different track. You have your track, you're your own guy, right? Like in Gemara. The world is learning Daf Yomi and there in Amanachos or whatever, and I'm in Avodah Zarah. What's wrong with that? There's no halacha that you have to be learning the same thing as the Tzibor. There's no halacha like that. Even if there was a din in the Tzibor of learning, so the Tzibor is a Tzibor. I don't know if that's exactly that. It's just a crude analogy. It's not the same thing. So it's Kriyas Torah is a din of the Tzibor. Tzibor is up to a certain thing, but I do my own thing. My own parshals. But that's what he's saying. The Olam Yashem Adam Parshios of Tzibor is that you should, you know, you should, I don't know the word, but you should align, coordinate. You should coordinate your learning of your parshios with the Tzibor's parshios. Okay, and if, because if a person does that, then he's going to be marichon lo yama vishnosav, and you know, and all that. Right? A person should not be on his own track of his Talmud Torah, learning Torah Shosav, but he should align himself with that of the Tzibor. Okay? That's the takana here. Right? The Kriyas HaTorah, it was not just the takana for the Tzibor, but it also includes that the Yechidim's parshios are aligned with it. So if you decide you want to learn the whole parsha, the whole Torah on Erev Yom Kippur, or in 2 weeks or whatever, you can't do it. That's part of the halacha. It's part of this takana or this halacha, that you have to be mashing parshios of the Tzibor. So if you want to spend other time on learning Gemara, let's say, so you want to pack it all in there and just get it all over with, you can't do it. Build the Yashan Parashas of Tzibor. And the person who does that is Marech Lo Yom HaShnosav. That's an important, somehow it's important. So you'll ask, why is it important? Like, what's the sense of that? I mean, it sounds like that's what it's saying. That is what it sounds, that does sound like what it's saying. Right? But why is that? Is it, can we explain that at all? Or is that just an axiom? Yeah, I mean, that's what I was just pointing out. Is people don't realize, or somehow this mitzvah is not often neglected, or people don't really think it's that important, or I don't know, the Gemara sounds like it's like Adata. But I mean, the Rambam says Chayev. So, sounds like Chayev. I mean, I don't think this is an optional mitzvah. This is part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and it's, you know, it's hard. I mean, that's why I think it's neglected. I mean, it's hard to do. And generally, when you first start keeping halacha, I mean, you're not going to tell someone to do this. It's very hard. It's just, you know, you have to kind of, it's like a kind of, it's a hard mitzvah. So somehow people don't, you know, somehow avoid it. Or don't know about it, avoid it. But whatever. It is what it is. So one way to say, yeah. I guess the simplest way to say it is, and maybe this is what you're saying first, is that, like, if you learn, like the Moshe Rabbeinu set up, if you learn, let's say, it's part of the Kanos Moshe. You know, it's part of the Takana of Kriyas Torah, which it sounds like it's set up that way, right? So you'd say, is like, what the idea of Kriyas Torah was that, like, let's say before the Takana of Kriyas Torah, right? So how did it work? How did it work before the Takana of Kriyas Torah? So I guess there was Torah, there was a mitzvah of the Talmud Torah, but people just didn't do it. Or some people did, it was to each his own. Right? There was no formalized institution of Talmud Torah. And what happened was that the people started complaining, right? And that's what Moshe said, is like they're complaining because they're removed from Torah. And once a person's mind is out of Torah, then he starts slipping into all kinds of chayt and all kinds of complaints and whatever. So he says it's not good for a person to go 3 days without Torah. A person has mind has to be in Torah. And a person without the institution of Kriyas Torah, people are neglecting that. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu set up the institution of Kriyas Torah. So he formalized Kriyas Talmud Torah, the Tzibor. Right? So what it's saying is, if that's the case, you could learn is that he's also formalized the Ketah Torah Shebuch Sav, that not only is he formalized, part of that formalization includes the Torah Shebuch Sav as well, the individual Torah Shebuch Sav as well, because that's not the end all of Torah. Torah, the basic idea of three psukim that they read in whatever is a motivated, should motivate a person or should cause a person to think into it. And Talmud Torah is more than just hearing psukim, to hear psukim in the shul or whatever. Part of the thing is also to think about it and to involve yourself in it on a personal level. So it could be, it's like part of the form, the part, you could learn that part of the chiv of the Kriyas Torah includes, also formalizes the chiv of Yachid. The Yachid's parshi yosef. It's partial to do with the Tzibor. It's all one, it's like one system. And you'll say, why can't I do it on my own? But the answer is, because if each guy's going to do it on his own, then you're not going to have a chiyuv, and then this is going to turn out, and people aren't going to learn Torah. Like, you know, it was formalized because people aren't doing it. Now once it's formalized, it's given a Tzibor. And the Tzibor is that you have to do it every week together with the Tzibor. It's part of the halacha of Kriyas Torah and the Tzibor. You have to do it together with the Tzibor. Right? So if that's the case, now you can't say I want to do my own thing, because it became formalized. And the Tzibor, the Kriya Talmud Torah of Torah Shebuch Sav exists in the Tzibor because this chayav, and because everyone's doing it, and everyone has to do Tzvayim Rekhadot Yerkam. If you're going to start making exemptions and say, oh no, I do my own thing, and that's not the way halacha works. It was codified, it was formalized as part of the chayav of Kriya Torah.
Not a good that does.
What?
Not a good
that
if nobody's doing it still.
Well, I don't know if no one's doing it. I mean, look, I mean, you could say there's a difference between a chiyuv, and if people aren't doing it, then that's fine, then keeping halacha. But it's different, it does a lot, because I know a lot of people who do it, who wouldn't be doing it if there was no You know, it wouldn't be necessarily learning Torah Shabbos Sava if there was no fear. So look, I mean, a lot of people aren't keeping Shabbos, but you know, this is the chiyuv. It's part of the end of Talmud Torah. I mean, look, a lot of people don't go to shul, and you don't go to shul, you're not going to hear Kriyas Torah either. So Kriyas Torah doesn't do any good if you're not in shul either. But I mean, this is the takana. So, right, yeah. So that's one. I mean, that's if you learn. I mean, it's not clear. I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, if you learn like the Aruch HaShulchan, which I guess is pretty compelling, that is part of the Takana of Moshe, then it seems like that's it. Then that's why. You know, it's just funny how this Gemara sounds like the Olam, a person should do it. And like, well, how about this? Can we explain? It doesn't really explain. Like, maybe we should explain this. What's the idea of, because of a person who does it, it's like, Marichon lo yom v'shnosof. It's like it brings him a long life. If a person does Shnayim Erechon Targum with the Tzibor, it brings him a long life. I mean, what's the deal with that? Right? I mean, it sounds like why? I mean, he's just learning Torah. What's the, you know? What does that mean? It's a hard kind of question. Let's hold off on that question. Can we explain the idea of Shnayim Erechon Targum? The form. What's the deal with the form? Two Mikras and one Targum. What's the idea of that? Yeah, okay, good. So the idea is that perhaps it means that... So what is Shnayim Erechon Targum? Shnayim Erechon Targum this whole halacha, is the formalized mitzvah of a yachid to learn Torah Shebichsav. That's what it is. It means Torah Shebichsav, learning of Torah Shebichsav, was not left up to a person's own decision of how and when to do it. Okay, but when the institution of learning Torah Shebichsav was formalized, was codified. How do you learn Torah Shebichsav? The Chumash, it's codified every single week together with the Tzibor. That's the way it was set up. Okay, every week together with the Tzibor. That's how the Midrash was set up. Now, were the parameters of how it was set up? Does it just mean they're doing it, so you do it? So it says, yeah, it was formalized. And it could be is that it was set up as a model of how to learn Torah Shavuot. Okay, how do you learn Torah Shavuot? What's the proper way to do it? So it could be it set up the model. The model is that you read it, and when you learn something, if you think about this, I think this is often how you read something, how you go through something. If you go through Chumash, I think this is a good method of doing it. Is first you read it one time, and you just go over the parsha. You just read over the group of Pesachim or whatever it is. And you get your first intake of the thing. You know, you get a basic purview of what it's about. Right? Then you take a second take and you start looking at it in a more careful analysis of the Pesachim one at a time and you think it over. A second take is different than the first take. The first take, you don't even know what's going on. So you have to, so to speak, you finish the chapter, finish the whatever it is, and then you get the big picture. Then you're ready to go back a second time and start reading it more carefully. Right? Then, right, like if you read an article, oftentimes you do that. I don't know if they read like a math article, you know, or any article. I mean, sometimes if you really want to analyze something, first sometimes you want to finish it up, see what's there, see where it's going, and then you, okay, now I'll go back and take the point slowly. So a second time is a different, you take different stuff from it the second time. Especially this is a deep book, I mean, it's a Torah. And then the third time, then you go over it with the Torah Baal Peh, with the Targum, the oral law, the associated oral law. That's another, a third take. It's different than the second take. The second one is you're still doing the Torah Shulchsav itself, but with a more fine-tooth comb. You know, you're looking at it more carefully. But then there's another idea, is read how does the oral law interpret the pasuk? Right, that has nothing to do with the Targum, and that's the Targum. So what it's saying is that when Moshe Rabbeinu, whoever it is, formalized the kriya of a yachid, how you should learn Torah Shavuot, and they codified it. They codified it. First of all, it's part of the tzibur's doing it, and also how you do it. There's a model of how to do it, and there's a tzibur. There's a form to it. I'm learning. It's there are three separate things, two mikras and one tirgum. It's not like the Tikkun is part of the second Mikra. It's a separate thing. It's a, you know, it's a different side of the Chumash or whatever. I mean, you're reading it twice, and then you read Tikkun. But we'll get to it. We'll get to it. I think we'll get to that, exactly the interplay of that, when we get to this Ataras of Divon, that pasuk, mm-hmm. which, you know. Mm-hmm. That I didn't do, right?
Yeah, I think you did.
I did?
I don't know if you finished it.
Okay.
I know there was a machloket.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Now, it could be, is that, it could be this explains also why it's a din of doing with the tzibor. Okay? See, it's, if the model of the Torah, it's, it could just not be a practical thing. But I think is that, for instance, if you think about this, I think this is true in your life, is that the fact that you're doing Parshas Bahar, and everyone in Klal Yisrael is doing Parshas Bahar, helps your learning of Parshas Bahar. Okay? In general. Because the rabbi talks about the parsha, your friend talks about the parsha, everyone's on the same page. You say, oh, did you see that Rashi? Oh, did you see this? And the tzibor, as a klal, becomes involved in the thing. So the learning takes place in a individual's doing it at home on their own. Every individual does it, and it's chayav to do it on their own. But it, the idea of Talmud Torah is it should spur further learning. Should awaken further learning and further analysis and further questioning. So the idea of being mashlim parshios of Matzibor is don't be on your high horse and say, oh, I do my own thing. That's not the best method is if it, look, there is a place for a person to do his own thing, for sure, but there is part of the takana was is that the Tzibor, they're codifying it and setting up a system whereby the Tzibor at large aligns their Talmud Torah of the Chumash together. And that's something which I think enhances your Talmud Torah. Because even if you're Talmud Chacham, the other people ask you a question on it, and your head is in the area, and you're thinking about the Parsha, and there's a great, huge benefit to the fact that you interact with people, and the shul is learning it, and you're learning it, and you hear it, this person, you know, it's just like, there's an idea of like, you're fully engaged in Parshas Bahar, on the week of Parshas Bahar. And it allows you to have a certain type of a focus, and to really gain from the Torah Shavuot, and to really see it in a deeper level. You know, it wouldn't happen if a person just does Chumash. I mean, in general, of course, every person, you know, there's great people, but in general, it wouldn't happen if you just had a thing, a mitzvah. Oh yeah, it's a good idea to learn Chumash. Part of learning is learning Chumash. Yeah, you do things here or there. You know, maybe you'll do this little parsha, maybe do that one. But interacting with people who are all learning the same thing is of a great benefit, you know. So that was when it was codified that a person should learn, so that the tzibor should be involved in Torah, and the individuals in the tzibor should be involved in Torah, and that's an important for a person's limud. It helps a person's limud, and that was the way it was codified. You know, I mean, the answer halachically is that was the way it was codified. But I'm saying there's a sense to it other than the fact that it's halachified, and halachically there had to be a tzura. There's a sense to it also. Just like this, the form of Shnei Mikra Tirgam maximizes a person's, you know, appreciation and learning of the Torah, it's similarly the idea of Iman Tzibor maximizes that. Yeah, and it could be that's the idea of Marichim Yom HaMishnosav, is that a person who does it, it like lengthens his days. I'm not sure exactly the terminology, but there's an idea of a person's learning Torah just like in his own world. But learning is, you're part of Klal Yisrael. You're not your own guy, and you're part of a klal. And Talmud Torah takes place on, there's a communal responsibility of, like, for instance, learning of Mesorah. There's an idea, there's a system of Mesorah, and a person's learning has to be as part of, he's maintaining the Torah. And the Torah is maintained not through an individual, not through a few individuals, it's maintained through the Tzibor. So there's an idea of a person aligning, recognizing himself as such, as a member of a greater group, and of aligning himself with the Talmud Torah of the group. And in fact, the group also benefits by the fact that you're learning the Parsha. Not only do you benefit, they benefit, because you're going to discuss it with them. So there's an idea of recognizing yourself as a component of a larger entity of Klal Yisrael, who's maintaining the Torah and learning the Torah. And if a person, it could be a saying is, if a person, who realizes his place, his larger picture in the universe, has a certain Richas Yamim. Has a certain quality, like, I think it means like a quality of life that a person has when he realizes he, like, egocentrism is basically shortens a person's life. It shortens his quality of life. A person feels like he's the center of everything. It's it causes him undue conflicts and pressures and stresses because it's not real. It's not true. And that creates many conflicts. A person, things don't work out the way a person wants. But it could be, this is a mitzvah which forces a person to recognize his place as being, his place in reality as being part of Klal Yisrael. And it's a great tool of perfection, of so to speak, minimizing the self. And that's, I think maybe it's the long days, I think it means his quality of life. It's basically he has a proper perspective on himself vis-a-vis the world. Maybe what we should do next, maybe we'll stop here, but I guess the next part is, maybe I'll just fill you in. So what's the thing about Atar Sudivam? So it says a person should do this thing, do every week, you should be on track with the Tzibor, and you should read the Pasuk twice and once Tirgam. Even this Pasuk, about Taras V'divam. Even this Pasuk. So what does that mean? What do you mean, even this Pasuk, about Taras V'divam? What's this Pasuk, about Taras V'divam? Right? So it says, Rashi says there is no Tirgam. The Tirgam on that is just Taras V'divam. It just names the places. So it's just the same exact thing. So Rath does explain that it means, so what do? So it says you just read it three times in Hebrew. Okay? Three times in Hebrew. But, so he says, 1 second. So there are those who argue on that. I mean, they'll see Tosis inside, but there are those who say it's not true. You don't have to read that three times. You don't have to do it twice. That's one question. You have to read the Pasuk three times if you don't have a Targum. But how does Tosfos? Tosfos says, no, v'kasha, ma'anaka Tosfos, she has shalom, come and take me shalom. There's a lot of psukim in the Torah that don't have any Targum. Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Doesn't have a Targum. He said, but this Pasuk actually has a Targum Yerushalmi, which means that we have Unkelos, and Unkelos just has whatever, nothing. But the Targum Yerushalmi, which is another Targum, which is from from Yerushalmi, I don't know who wrote it, whatever, but it does have a translation. It translates the names of the places into more modern places. The names of the places, and it does have a commentary. So it says that's what it means. I feel Torah Sudiva means even. That's what he says. If it was like Rashi to show you that if there's no Tirgam, you should read the Pasuk three times, you should have picked the Pasuk that has zero Tirgam, none whatsoever. Why pick this Pasuk? It's telling you, even though there is no known Tirgam, Ungolas, Ela Tirgam Yishalmi, there's only the Tirgam Yishalmi, but Tzarech Likros Gimel Palm HaIvri, and therefore you'd have to read it three times. Mekamakim Yotzer Tov Likros Palm Shlishis B'Tirgam. It's better to read the third time in that other Tirgam. So it's teaching you that you should read when there is no Tirgam. There is no Tirgam Unkelos. The best thing is not just to read the Pasuk three times, but is to read the Tirgam Yerushalmi. So it's like he's kind of agreeing with Rashi, right? That you should read it three times. But if there's another Tirgam Yerushalmi, then go with that. So that's what it's teaching you. It's like a given that, of course, you read it three times if there's no Tirgum. There's nothing. But if there's some Tirgum, then you're better off to do it twice and then that one, that Tirgum Yishalmi. So what's the teaching? It's not even Askan according to Rashi, I'm just going to learn Tosos. There's Tosos of Rashi who learns that if there's Tirgum Yishalmi, we can look at it. I think he holds if Tirgum Yishalmi, then you should read the Tirgum Yishalmi. But if there's no Tirgum Yishalmi, nothing anywhere, then you just do it two times. You don't have to do it third times.
Tosos and Rashi say that.
Tosfos HaRash.
Tosfos HaRash.
So you have three positions. The Rashi says that if there's no Tirgum, you just do it three times. You read the Pasuk three times. The Tosfos agrees with that, but he says if there is a Tirgum Yerushalmi, then do two times that Tirgum Yerushalmi. Tosfos HaRash says, no, if there's zero Tirgum, you only do it twice. But if there's Tirgum but Tirgum Yerushalmi, then you do the twice and Tirgum Yerushalmi. Okay? So I'd like to define all these different permutations. Yeah. Okay, so that should keep us busy for tomorrow. And then I guess after that, we'll go to the next, like, what did this guy, remember the Rabbi of Arai, who wanted to do it all in one parsha, like, the further parts of the Gemara, all in Yom Kippur, like, what's, just to kind of work our way through this thing, slowly.